All right, Kabbalah, say good morning. Our shiur this morning is dedicated by Dr. and Mrs. Lustman in honor of Dr. Lustman's father, Yaakov Eliezer ben Yosef. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah in the family in the Chama. Thank you. Also by Shmuel and Rachel Newman, as a zechus for Rafua Shlema, for Ruvain ben Chana Devor Rezel, and for Yechiel Michal ben Rachel Hena Malka. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, these cholim together, kol cholei Yisrael, have a complete and enduring refuah. And lastly, we thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Nisan, Paul and Kathy Pollack, for dedicating all of the shiurim in honor of the yahrzeits of Paul's parents, Shmuel ben Zechariah zechonah lebracha, Sarah bas Avram zechonah lebracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the neshamas will have an aliyah and the family a necham. Shkach for the sponsorships. All right, we'll say, let's begin. A lot to do today. Today's daf is Kuf Lamed Vav 136. We are picking up on 135b, and we are picking up. Bechorah, I believe, right? Last second to last short line. Did we do that already? May mezuzah. No, mezuzah. So we'll say mezuzah. Three lines up from the bottom. So let's remember again, just to orient ourselves a bit. So we were talking about yesterday. We started the Mishnah of Reishis Hagez, speaking about again the obligation to give the first shearings to the Kohen. And one of the interesting topics which came up was whether or not an animal that is owned in partnership, is there an obligation ultimately to go ahead and provide Reishis Hagez? So this Rabbosai brought up a machlokes in Rabbi Eloi and the Rabbanon. Rabbi Eloi said, the pasuk says soncha. Soncha means your sheep and not a sheep of shutfus. So if you own a sheep jointly, doesn't matter who you own it with, halacha lemaisa, that sheep is pater from reishis hagez. The Rabbanon, on the other hand, said no. If you own it with a guy, if you own it with a Gentile, then it's exempt. If you own it with another Jew, it is obligated. So we're going through a bunch of other cases of situations where there's a singular lashon used, but even Rabbi Eloi would agree that a shutfus is chai. For example, here we go, this is amazing. Mezuzah. Or Beisecha, right? Even though, again, the pasuk says Beisecha by mezuzah, your home, which I will say sounds like what? Ultimately, the singular, meaning that only if you own the home yourself is it halacha l'maisa obligated in mezuzah. Didach in shutfus lo, only if it's yours that you chayav in mezuzah, but if it belongs to a partnership, you're not. But the pasuk says that you will go ahead and have longevity of your days and the days of your children, plural. So we'll say, what do you see from there? You see from there that even if you own the home jointly with a shutof, you're still chayv in mezuzah. So if that's the case, then what does beisecha come to teach me? So the chidir abba. So we'll say again, so the shayla is, if I'm going to be obligated in mezuzah, even if there's a partnership, then why does it phrase it in a singular? So the gemara says, the chidir abba. Dama Rabba, top of Kufa Mevarabba, says it's actually amazing. Derech biyascha min hayamin. The Rabba say, ultimately, again, interestingly enough, we darshan beisecha as a little bit of a play on words, biyascha. That where do you put the mezuzah? You put the mezuzah the way you come in. Right? Derech biyascha. And I will say, since it is a right man's world, right? Since, at the end of the day, right, so most people are right-handed. So how does a person enter into a home? So the assumption is the first step a person makes is with their right foot. So therefore, again, derech biyascha, you put the mezuzah how? Ultimately, again, the way you come in. How do you come in? Right foot first. Therefore, I'm using like this. I'm a lefty. Right? Therefore, again, we come in right foot first. And therefore, again, you put the mezuzah ultimately on the right side. Incredible. So meiser, we'll say, what about meiser? Afagav dichsev meiser digoncha. Dilach in the shutfus lo, even though my meister says meister de gancha, the meister of your wheat, again singular, which sounds like what Rabbo said, that it's only if you singularly own the wheat, but ultimately if you own it b'shutfus, it will be potter. So the Gemara says dilach in the shutfus lo, so you're obligated only if it's your meister, but if you own it jointly, you're not chayiv kasev rachmana masro seichem. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk says in the plural your meisters, meaning what? Even if you own the meiser jointly, you are still chayiv in meiser. Ella meiser de gancha lemai asa. So we'll say, so all these cases are the same. All of these cases, remember, and this is all commenting on Rabbi Eloi, because all we're saying is, even though there's a singular lashon, the Torah goes back to use a plural lashon. Plural lashon tells me that these halachos apply even in a case of partnership. And then we go back and try to figure out, so what is the Torah teaching me through the singular lashon? So what does Meiser teach me? The Me'uti Shutfus to Ovid Kochavim. Oh, what it comes to exclude is what? is ultimately, again, the shutfos, a partnership with a Gentile. That ein achinami, if you own a field in partnership with an Oved Kochavim, ultimately that produce will be potter from Meiser. So the Gemara says, Matanos. What's the Matanos? Zra, Lechayim, and Keva. What's the halacha? Afagav, Visiv, Rachmana, Vinasan, Ikala, Meimar, Yolif, Nesina, Nesina, Meleishis, Hagaz. So we'll say, by Matanos, the Torah used Lashon of Vinasan. I could have said I can make a Gzer Shava of Nesina, Nesina, from Reishis, Hagaz, which would teach me as Reishis, Hagaz, which would teach me as follows. Malahalon, the Shutfus, Lo, just like by Reishis, Hagaz, what? If ultimately the animal is owned jointly, there is no obligation to contrary loy. There is no obligation to give up the first shearings. Afkan the shut fuslo. So too over here by matonos. If you own an animal jointly, there is no obligation. Cause of Rachmana meis zovche hazevach. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk says plural meis zovche hazevach from those who slaughter the animal. Ela time of the cause of Rachmana meis zovche hazevach. So the reason ultimately again that even if you own an animal b'shutfus, that you will be chayiv in matanos is because the Torah uses the plural lashon of zovche hazevach. Halav hachi, but were it not this case, hava mina leilif mereishis hagaz, I would have learned out nesina nesina from matanos to reishis hagaz, and I would have said that what? Just like by reishis hagaz, if you have a jointly owned animal, it's potter. So too, by matanos, if you have a jointly owned animal, it will be potter. Adarabo, I can say just the opposite. Neilif mitruma, I can learn it out ultimately again from truma. So the Gemara says, and I both say, what, remember again, what does truma teach me? Truma tells me that halacha lamaisa, if the animal is owned jointly, even, remember, according to the Rabbanon, even jointly with an akum, the halacha is that what? The halacha is that the animal is still subject to the obligations of truma. I should say, the produce is subject to truma. So again, I learn out nesina nesina from reishis, from matanos to truma. So the Gemara says, you're right. That is absolutely true. So if that's the case, what do I learn from the phrase of Zovche Azavach? L'chidi Rava. D'amu Rava, Hadin im HaTavach. Rabbi will say, first wide line, Kuf Lamid Vav Amad Aleph, 136a. Therefore, we'll say, what do I learn from the phrase Zovche Azavach? To teach me, we actually saw this a few days ago, that halacha l'maisa, the Kohen's claim for Matanos, interestingly enough, is actually against the butcher, not against the owner of the animal. Since halacha l'maisa, the butcher is slaughtering the animal, he is the one who really is obligated to separate out the matanos. Bikurim, first word on Abbas, what about bikurim, first fruits? Afagav v'chsev artzicha, even though the pasuk by bikurim says artzicha, your land, which Abbas says sounds like what? That you're only subject to bikurim if there's singular ownership over the fruit. But if it's jointly owned, then perhaps halacha l'maisa, there is no obligation of bikurim. Didach in the shutfus lo. I would have learned that bikurim applies to your fruit, but not fruit owned by a partnership. Therefore, kasav rachmana, bikurei kol asher ba'artzecha. Therefore, we'll say the Torah uses the plural lashon of bikurei, kol asher ba'artzecha, anything that's in your land. Ela, art teaching me that even if fruit is owned b'shutfus, it is still subject to bikurim. Ay, ela artzecha lamali. So it says, so what do I do with that singular lashon of artzecha? It's actually very interesting. Lemeute chutza la'aretz. Ultimately, again, to go ahead and what? Exclude chutz la'aretz. To teach me that halacha l'maisa, chutz la'aretz is not included in the obligation for bikurim. Tzitzis, another interesting case. By tzitzis, it says, afagab dekasev rachmana kisuscha didach in the shutfuslo. So you're also, by tzitzis, the Torah says, where do you put tzitzis? Ksuscha, on your clothing, singular. So I would have thought, what does that mean? The only time I'm obligated in tzitzis is when I am the sole owner of the garment. But if halacha l'maisa, the garment is jointly owned, there's no obligation for tzitzis. Kasav rachmana, al kanfei vigdehem ledorosam. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk uses the plural on the corners of their garments, plural, for all generations to teach me that even if the garment is jointly owned, there is still an obligation of tzitzis. V'aluk susha lamali. So if that's the case, then why does the Torah use the singular lashon of ksuscha? L'chidrav Yehuda. L'chidrav Yehuda. Dam Rav Yehuda. Talis sh'ula Petura min atzitzis kol shloshim yom. Rav Yehuda says, it's actually interesting, if you borrow a garment, Rabosai. So if short-term rental, short-term borrowing, less than 30 days, is not obligated in tzitzis. Right? Any more than 30 days, ultimately, again, you will be obligated to put tzitzis on that garment. Ma'ke. So I'll say, what about a fence, right? This is talking about the obligation to put a protective fence on your flat roof so that people don't fall off your roof and die. Afagav, because of Rachman al-Gagecha, so even the Torah says, ultimately, even l'gagecha, for your roof, singular, the dach in the shutfas law, I would have thought the obligation for a makkah only applies to a home that is singularly owned, but a home that is owned in a partnership shouldn't have an obligation. Kas of Rachmano, ki yipal hanofel mimenu. Therefore, I will say, the pasuk says, ki yipal hanofel, Rashi says, kol sheroi lipal imenu vafilu b'shutfas. Therefore, the Torah goes back and says, so that someone doesn't fall off. So, I will say, so we learn from there that what? Any roof that someone can fall off from and die ultimately has an obligation in makkah, even if it is jointly owned. Aye, but if that's the case, ela gagecha lamai asa. So also here's the issue. The Torah does go out of its way to use the singular form of gagecha, your roof, which tells me that it's excluding something. So what is it excluding? Lamai asa. Also, this is amazing. Lemeute bate knesios ubate medrashos. That the halacha is that you do not have to put a fence on the flat roof of a shul over Beis Hashem. We'll say there's an incredible musr. An incredible musr. We'll say, what are Chazal teaching us? When you are in shul, where are you supposed to be? Right? In shul. Right? In shul. Right? Not in the kitchen, not in the social hall, not on the roof, not in the lobby. Right? We'll say, you are supposed, and if you are on the roof, you've signed a disclaimer. Whatever happens, happens. Not my problem. We'll say, an incredible, incredible musar. It's not me. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm just the shliach. So it's incredible. So Rabbi Abaye says, so we'll say, so now what we've done is, in all of these cases, so we have gone ahead and we have highlighted that even Rabbi Eloi, who used the singular Lashon ultimately to go ahead and exclude a jointly owned animal from Reishis Hageis, will apply in these cases, will agree that in these cases, even though the Torah uses a singular Lashon, in fact, we are coming to include even jointly owned items. So now Rabbi becomes long. I'm Rabbi Rabbaye. Listenu lahani klali. So in fact, everything we just said was wrong. Okay. Right. Rabbi Eloi does not subscribe to any of these ideas. Rashi says, Lesnu Lohani Klali, Da'amar Rabba, Demodi Rabbi Eloi Bechol Hani, Da'atanya De'palik Rabbi Eloi Bechol Ravalo Marbile Me Bekara Mitzoncham. So we'll say, ultimately again says, Rabbi Rabbaye, that ultimately again Rabbi Eloi does not hold of any of these ideas that we just said. Disanya, we'll say, how do we know that? Disanya, Behemas Ashotvin Chayeves Bebechora. That if you have a jointly owned animal, it is subject to the halakos of Bechor. Of Bechor, Rabbi Eloi Pochra. And Rabbi Eloi says it's Potter. My time with Rabbi Eloi, why does Rabbi Eloi say it's Potter? Dichsiv, Bekarncha, Bitzoncha. Because we'll say the Torah uses the singular Lashon of your cattle and your sheep. And therefore we'll say the singular Lashon teaches me that the halacha of Bechor only applies to an animal that is owned by one person, not to a jointly owned animal. Ay, v'ha, ksiv, Bekarncha, Bitzoncha. But one second, it says your cattle, your sheep, plural, the Kuli Yisrael. That means that it's a halacha that applies to all of Klal Yisrael. It's talking to the nation of Israel. It is not talking, it's not a coming to include a jointly owned animal. Similarly, Amar Rav Chanina Misura, Lesnu Lahani Klali. So Rav Chanina Misura, Misura agrees with Rabibi, and he says, in fact, Rabbi Eloi does not hold of these ideas that we said before. Disanya, Behemas Ashotvin Chayim Matanos. If you have a jointly owned animal, it is subject to the halachos of matonos, roa, lechayayim, and keba, Rabbi Eloi poter. Rabbi Eloi says you're poter. My taima, why does Rabbi Eloi say you're poter? Yolef nesina, nesina mereshes hagez. Ultimately, he learns how to exer shav nesina, nesina from first shearings. Ma lahalon du shutfuslo. Just like Rabbi Eloi holds that by reishis hagez, if you have a jointly owned animal, it is not subject to halachos of the first shearings. Afkan du shutfuslo. So too over here, by matanos, if you have a jointly owned animal, it is also not subject to the obligation of matanos. Now, if you would think that Rabbi Eloi holds that for truma purposes, even a jointly owned field is subject to truma, let Rabbi Eloi learn how to exert shava nesina nesina mitruma and say that what? Just like if you have a shutfus by truma, you're still chayiv, so too if you have a shutfus by matanos, you should be chayiv as well. to which the Gemara Ella Shmamina Betruma Nami Poter. Rather, what do you see that Rabbi Eli holds that even if you have jointly owned property by Truma, you will also be Poter. Ima Truma Ba'aretz In Bechutzal Aretz Lo. So we'll say, so now let's take this further. If that's the case, then just as Truma only applies in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutzal Aretz. Af Matanos Ba'aretz In Bechutzal Aretz Lo. So too, again, Matanos should only apply in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutzal Aretz. But I will say, remember, here's the problem. The problem is we saw that in the first Mishnah of the previous Perek, right? Of the, that Matanos apply in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz. So we'll say, here we go. Amar Rabbi Yossi min Arvil in. V'atayin Rabbi Eloi. Amar Rabbi Yossi, here we go. Rabbi Eloi says, Matanos ein noagin ela ba'aretz. It was Rabbi Eloi is of the opinion that halacha lemaisa Matanos, zroa lechayayim and keva, only apply in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz La'aretz. V'chein aya Rabbi Eloi omer, Reishis Hageis Eino Noig Ela Ba'aretz. So ultimately, we'll say this is incredible. By the way, we'll say this is how we paskin Halacha Lamaisa. We paskin not like the Mishnah. We paskin ultimately again like this statement of Rabbi Eloi. That namely, again, Matanos only in Plain Chutzars, not in Eretz Yisrael. Furthermore again, Reishis Hageis Einoig Ela Ba'aretz. So too again, Matanos only apply in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz La'aretz, and Reishis Hageis only applies in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz La'aretz. My time, Rabbi Eloi. What's Rabbi Eloi's logic? Amar Rava Yalef Nesina Nesina Mitruma. He learns Exer Shava Nesina Nesina from Truma. Mat Truma Ba'aretz in B'chutz La'aretz Lo. Just like in Eretz, just like Truma, ultimately again applies in Eretz Yisrael, but not in Chutz La'aretz. Af Reishis Hageis Be'aretz in B'chutz La'aretz Lo. So to Reishis Hageis as well as Matanos only apply in Eretz Yisrael. And I will say that indeed, I'm not going to get into it now because there's too much to do, but that is indeed the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. This is in Yaradeya. Hilchos Matnos Aniyim. Simen Shin Lamed Gimel Sif. Alef Reishis Hageis Eino Noig Ela Ba'aretz. Bein Bifnei Abayis, Bein Shalom Bifnei Abayis, Vish Om Dvar Torah, Reishis Hageis Noig Apil B'chutz La'aretz. Ela Shalom Nogu King. So we'll say, interesting, the Ramah quotes that it's a machlokas. Right, the Rama says we are not. There are those who say that it applies in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz. We are not noig like that. Instead, we paskin like Rabbi Eloi that it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Amar Abaye, Imacho. So we'll say. Interestingly enough. So whether or not. So what we do with this contemporarily in Eretz Yisrael by Reishis Hageis and by Matanos, we're going to talk about. Amar Abaye, Imachuma Tovelas. Af Reishis Hageis Tovelas. Now that you're making this Gzeir Shabab Nesina Nesina. Between Reishis Hageis and Truma, so why don't I say as follows? Just like I will say, before you go ahead and you separate out Truma, the rest of your produce is Tevel. And as a result, you may not consume it. So why don't I say also Reishis Hageis? Before you take the first shearings, the rest of the wool should also be like Tevel and therefore unfit for use. We know, in fact, that's not the case. Amar Le Amar Kra, Reishis Geis Soncha Titein Lo. So we'll say, interestingly enough, what the Gemara essentially answers is that halacha lemaisa, the Reishis Hageis, really, the first shearings only become identified as first shearings when you actively remove them from the animal. Only once you actually shear it, does it take on some kaddishtik identity. But before that, it does not. If you look at Rashi, so we'll say, interestingly enough, it only takes on the identity of Reishis Hageis when you go ahead and you separate it. Before you separate it from the animal, in fact, it does not have that identity. Therefore, by definition, cannot create any type of tevel identity. So the Gemara says as follows: Ve'ima truma chayav malah misa v'chomesh. Afrei shesageis chayav malah misa v'chomesh. If you can make this gzer shav of nesina nesina between reishes hageis and truma, then I would say just like truma, you're chayav misa if a non-coin eats it intentionally, and you're chayav to go ahead and pay keren principal plus an additional penalty fifth if you consume it accidentally. I would say afrei shesageis chayav malah misa v'chomesh. Maybe the same halacha should apply to the first shearings. Amakra. Umesu bo, v'yosef alav. V'yosef alav, v'lo al reishis hagas bo, v'lo bereishis hagas. So also the Torah uses limiting lashonos. Umesu bo. It's only if he eats truma that there's a chiyuv misa. V'yosef alav. It's only alav, only on truma that you have to add on the penalty fifth, but not for reishis hagas. I ma truma rishon v'sheni acharas. So then I could say, just like truma is only a first tithe, there is an obligation after Truma to go ahead and take Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni as well. Af Reishis Hageiz Rishon V'Sheni Achara. So to maybe, again, there's some type of obligation for some type of supplemental tithe to be removed from the wall after Reishis Hageiz. Amakra Reishis in Lechabon El Reishis Bilbad. Therefore, Rabbi said the Pasuk by the Shirin calls it Reishis Hageiz. All you have in it is the Reishis, but nothing else. There's the obligation to take the first shearings, but there is no other obligation of separation. So we'll say, if that's the case, just like Truma, you are not permitted to tithe new crop from old crop, or vice versa. In other words, you have to tithe each year's produce on its own. So the Gemara says, Af reishis hageiz mechadash al hayashan. So to what? So to Allah alamaisa by reishis hageiz, I also should not be able to go ahead and separate the new crop on the old, I'm calling it crop, but you understand, meaning what I mean over here is you should not be able to go ahead and separate out 1 year's batch from another year's batch. So the Gemara says, in Vatanya, Hayulo shtei rechelos gazus. Listen to this. Let's say if you had two sheep that were shorn. V'hiniach gazos, v'hiniach, I'm sorry, I just lost the place. Vatanya, hayulo shtei rechelos. You have two sheep. Gazos, v'hiniach, gazos, v'hiniach, shnayim u'shlosh hashanim, in mitzdavos. So let's remember again, as we saw in the Mishnah, as we already saw in the Mishnah, so what's the halacha? The halacha is you only chayav in reishis hageiz when the wool gets to a certain weight, right? It has to get to a certain weight. So I say, so what happens if halacha lemaisa? I have two sheep, I shear it and I leave some. I shear it and I leave some, and I go ahead and altogether I get the requisite weight. But this happens over the course of 2 or 3 years in mitzdafos. It's not mistarif. Rabbi says, in order to trigger the obligation of reishis, well, the Gemara says, ha chamesh mitzdarfos. Now, what it sounds like over here is because the problem is, you only had two. But if you had five sheep, which at least according to Beis Hillel, is the requisite number ultimately, again, for reishis hageiz, even if you sheared them over the course of a couple of years, their wool could be mitzdarif. Ah, bahatanya ein mitzdarfos. But one second, we learn even by five sheep, right, the shearings of multiple years cannot combine to form the requisite shear. So the Gemara says, Elishmamino Hadrabiloy Hadrabana. So we'll say, in reality, will you see from here that this is a machlokis? So we'll say, there is a fundamental machlokis whether or not shearings from multiple years have the ability to combine together to be mitzarif to form the requisite shear ultimately for Reishis Hageiz. Machlokis Rabbi Rabbanon. Imachuma. Gadol b'chiyuv chayiv, gadol b'pater pater. So also when it comes to truma, if you have produce that grew b'chiyuv, we'll say, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Gadol b'chiyuv, it's in the wide lines of Rashi, about 5 lines in. Kigon yisol shalakach sada min ha'obid kochavim, kidim ha'farish pekameh. So we'll say, for example, if you have a field that a Yisrael went ahead and purchased from an Obed Kochavim. So we'll say, so Gadol B'chiyuv means it continues to grow while it's under Jewish ownership. So if you have a field, ultimately that what? That is growing B'chiyuv, it's Chayiv in Truma. Gadol B'Potter, Rashi says, for example, if it's growing and it is owned by the Akum, it is Potter from Truma. So we'll say, so now what's the halacha? What's the parallel? Af reishis hageiz nami gadol b'chiyuv chayiv b'pater pater. So we'll say so too by reishis hageiz. If you have an animal, that's what? That is ultimately growing up in a state of chiyuv, it should be chayiv. In a state of ptur, which sounds like owned by an akum, it should be pater. V'gavi chumina. So we'll say now, let's analyze just a moment. V'gavi chumina. From Truma, where do I know this? Lisanya, here we go. Yisrael shalakach sada v'suriyam ove kochavim. So if Yisrael bought a field from an akum in Suriyah, Rashi says, Aram Tsova Shekav Shadavid. This is the Gemara, so we'll remember again. Velo Shmei Kibush, Velo Chalaba Kiddush HaSaretz, Vekala Kiddush HaSaretz, Vyishkin Lo Vekochav, Mavkiya Biad Meiser, Lefichach Ein Yisrael Chayiv La'aser, Ela Ala Tosefes HaShin Yoshishi. So we'll say, without getting into the technicalities over here, the Gemara is referring over here to the case of Surya. Surya was conquered by David HaMelech. So because of that, there's a whole discussion, and it was conquered by David HaMelech, in a non-milchemes mitzvah context. It was what's called kibush yachid. David HaMelech went out on his own to go ahead and conquer it. There's a whole discussion again about whether or not kibush yachid, shmei kibush, or lav shmei kibush, what is the status of land conquered by a king, a Jewish king, under the context, or I should say, in the framework of a non-milchemes mitzvah situation. But again, for our purposes, we don't have to get into it now. The point over here is as follows. A Yisrael buys a field from an Akum in Syria, ad shlo yeshlish chayiv. If he bought it and the produce had not yet matured to the point of one-third of their full growth, then ultimately again, therefore, by the time it hits the third threshold, it will be owned by a Jew, and therefore it will be chayiv in Meiser. Meshehivishlish, but however, if the Jew bought it from the Akum and the field was already one-third developed, then what? Rabbi Akiva mechayiv b'tosefes. Rabbi Akiva says, you chayiv in Shumas and Meisrus, not on the first third, but anything that grew after that. The Chachamim poacher, and the Chachamim say, you're totally potter. V'chitei ma'achinami. So too, maybe you'll say the same thing over here. V'hatnan, but we learned, halokeach geiz ovid kochavim. I will say, if you purchase wool from an akum, right, Rashi says, lokach v'kana edrosha ovid kochavim kishu omedes ligzos. If you buy, now you're buying the sheep, but they're ready to be sheared, right? You go ahead and you buy this from ovid kochavim. Potter mereishes hageiz. Ultimately, again, you are potter from the first shearings in this case. Ha, tsono ligzos, chayif, chayif. But I will say, what do you see from here? Look at Rashi. Ha, tsono ligzos, lokach v'kana edro. Shall obikam, so I will say, again, if I buy the wool from the akum, ultimately, again, I'm not chayif and meishis ageis. But it seems that what? If I buy the sheep, even though the sheep is ready to be shorn, I am chayiv ultimately again in Reishis Hagez. Rashi says chayiv v'afapi shagodlo hagizim etz ovikham. Now we'll say, now remember again, we were equating this entire time truma and Reishis Hagez. So by truma, what's the halacha? If the field matures underneath the hand of the akum, it is potter from trumas and maestras, or at least potter in some way from trumas and maestras. Yet by Reishis Hagez, it sounds like what? That if I go ahead and I buy from an akum a sheep that is ready to be shorn, what is the halacha? The halacha is that it is chayiv in reishis hageis. What's happening over here? To which the Gemara says, masnisin amud beis, masnisin delo k'rabi Eloi. In fact, the Mishnah does not go ahead and reflect the view of Rabbi Eloi, who equates reishis hageis to truma. Imachuma mimin al she'eno mino. So we'll say, fine. So that's the answer the Gemara makes. Two different opinions. Imachuma mimin al she'eno mino lo. So we'll say, when it comes to truma, the halacha is that you cannot go ahead and separate truma from one species on another species. Okay, that's the halacha. Rashi says, kigon shchoros ulevanos. So let's say, so for example, you know, white figs on dark figs, so you cannot go ahead and separate out from one min on the other. So the Gemara says, af reishis hagez, mi min al she'eno minolo. So thinking about, remember, this is all in Rabbi Eloi's model, right? So Rabbi Eloi's model, where he is connecting ultimately again Reishis Hageis to Truma. So just like by Truma, you can't separate out Truma ultimately again one min from the other. So too by Reishis Hageis, you should not be able to separate out so wool from one type of sheep on another type of sheep. So the Gemara says, V'gabi Truma minolam. From Truma, where do I know this? So again, from Truma, where do I know this? So the Gemara says, V'sanya, so we'll say, if you have two different types of figs, white figs and dark figs, right? So what's the halacha? V'chein shnei minei chitin, or two different types of grain. Ein tarmin u'ma'asun zelze. You cannot go ahead and separate out truma from one group on another group, right? You can't separate out white figs on the dark figs, or dark figs for truma as though on the white figs. Rabbi Yitzchok, or Rabbi Yitzchok, Omer Mishon Rabbi Eloi, Rabbi Yitzchok Sidin Rabbi Eloi, V'shamay Omrim, Ein Tarmin, Ubeisilo Omrin Tarmin. So we'll say, so again, we have Machlokis over here. So apparently, again, the Rabbanon say that Halacha L'maisa, if you have two different types of figs, you may not separate out Trumas and Maisrus, or I should leave out Maisrus, Truma, from one group on another group. On the other hand, Rabbi Eloi says that Beisilo says, Beishamai says, you cannot separate out Ubeisilo Omrin Tarmin. Beisilo says, yes, you can. Why? Because Beisilo's logic seems to be, look at Rashi, Beisilo Omrim Tarmin, Dekulo Min Te'enim. Beisilo says, because they're all figs. They're all figs. The fact that one type is light figs, one type is dark figs, we're all just figs, right? Halacha L'maisa, because it's all in the fig family, it's totally fine. I will say, so Rashi goes on, V'tanakama Polig Ad Rabbi Yitzchak V'amalo Nechlo Beisilo, fine. So Gemara says as follows. So Af Reishis Hagez, Mimin Al She'ino Mino Lo. So I'll say, so again, now in Rabbi Eloi's model, remember, this entire discussion is predicated on Rabbi Eloi's model, that he is connecting Reishis Hagez to Truma. Gzereshava of Nesina, Nesina. Now, by the way, that Gzereshava is very important for us. Not as much for the purposes that are being mentioned over here, but remember, it's that Gzereshava that led us to the conclusion that Reishis HaGez only applies in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz La'aretz. That's the Gzereshava of Nesina, Nesina, ultimately, again, from Truma. So the Gemara is applying it to all these cases as well. So now you just told me that by Truma, you can't separate out from one group of figs on another group of figs. Even though they're all called figs, they're different types, and therefore you can't separate a truma, according to everyone outside the Rabbanon. So I would say also by Reishis HaGez, they will say, for you can't separate out wool from one type of animal and count it as Reishis HaGez for another type of animal. So the Gemara says, in Vatnan, Hayulo Beis Minim Shechufos Ulevanos. So listen to this. Remember, this is the Mishnah. If you have two different types of sheep, Shechufos and Levanos, dark sheep and white sheep. Machar lo shchufos, aval lo levanos. And what happens? The seller sells his dark sheep, but he retains his white sheep. So we'll say, what did the Mishnah say? What's the halach in terms of reishis hageis? So remember again, zenos in the atzmo, vezenos in the atzmo. Both the seller as well as the purchaser, each have to give their own reishis hageis. And I will say, I look at Ashi for just a moment. Zenos in atzmo, zenos in atzmo. Hoil v'lo shir la'atzmo me'oso hamin klum. Ein alav la'hafrish ha'osin gizim shemachar. V'af api sha'atzon lo machrum alokeach la'hafrish shalakach me'atonos. Listen to this. So what do you see from there? You see from there, that remember again, because what we said before in the Mishnah is, for example, if the seller sells sheep, let's say he has a flock of white sheep, and he sells a bunch of white sheep to someone, but he still retains some of the flock, what's the halacha? The owner of the flock has the obligation of reishis hageis, and the purchaser does not. This case over here is different. In this case, the owner is selling his white sheep and is retaining his dark sheep, or vice versa. The order doesn't matter. So what does the Mishnah say in that case? Owner, you give reishis hageis from your dark sheep. Purchaser, you give reishis hageis from your group of white sheep. So again, what do you see from there? What it sounds like from there is just like by Truma, which is what? Even though they're all what? No, they're all what? They're all sheep, right? They're all in the same min. Nevertheless, because they are distinguished in that some are white sheep, some are dark sheep, halacha lemaisa, they have two different obligations of reishis hageis, just like the figs. Just like the figs. Says the Gemara, lemiata seifa, but one second, look at the end of that Mishnah. What's the end of the Mishnah? Lemiata seifa diktani zechar mavalona kevos, zen no sein liatzmo, vezen no sein liatzmo. But I will say, what about the case, end of the Mishnah, which says male and female? Right? If halacha lemaisa, again, the owner sold the male animals and retained the female animals, or vice versa, what's the halacha? The halacha is each, right, both the owner as well as the purchaser give their own reishis hageis. Then I will say, now this one is a bit more problematic. Hachin nami mishum trein minininhu. See, I will say, even if you hold that halacha lemaisa within the same min, you could have individual categories, no one's going to apply that to gender. Right? No, right? In other words, they'll apply it to perhaps quality. They'll apply it, but gender in general for these halachos doesn't really make a difference. So it would be hard, the Gemara says, to go ahead and actually say that halacha lemaisa, selling off the female animals while retaining the male animals actually generates two different obligations of reishis hageis. Rather, what do you have to say? So what does it mean when the Mishnah, but yet the Mishnah does say that if I own the flock and I sell my male animals to Reuben and retain the female animals for myself, the Mishnah tells me that I have to give reishis hageis and Reuben has to give reishis. So what's happening? This is amazing. Elo, Eitza Tova Kamashon. Rather, I will say the Mishnah is actually giving me an Eitza Tova. What's the Eitza Tova? Delesiv le mehai derachich or mehai de'ashon. I will say this is amazing. So the case makes sense in the following way. I have a flock, male and female. I sell off my male animals and retain my female animals. So we'll say, so now I have to give reishis hageis. So what am I going to give reishis hageis from? Ultimately, again, from my female animals. Apparently, the wool of female animals is higher quality than male animals. So what is the Mishnah telling me to do? It's worth my while to buy back some of the wool of the male animals from the purchaser to satisfy my obligation of reishis hageis. So it's worth it for me to buy back some wool, and I can do that because it's all part of the same flock, because worth for me to spend the money to purchase some of the male wool so as to not have to give away all of the female wool. It's an Eitzah Tova. Keep it in your back pocket. Eitzah Tova. So the Gemara says, Hachanami Eitzah Tova Kamash Malon Deleisev Lumetar. So to Rabbi say, by the figs, ultimately, again, when the Brisa said before, that if I have black figs and white figs, and I went ahead and what? I sold off the white figs or the black, I don't know in this case which one is of higher quality, the black figs or the white figs, but either way, the idea is, let's assume for a moment it's the black figs that are higher quality than the white figs, right? So halacha l'maaseh, again, what it's telling me is, don't give all of the truma from your remaining figs, but rather, it's worth it for you to buy back some of the stuff that you sold in order to go ahead and satisfy your obligation, not having to use all of your superior produce. Okay, interesting idea. So how kimnon lamasnis and the look. So how kimnon lamasnis the look Rabbi Eloi. So we'll say, but it becomes clear that what that clearly our Mishnah is not reflecting the opinion of Rabbi Eloi. Imat truma ba'inon rachis shishiareni karim. Because we'll say if truma requires rachis shiareni, which means when you separate a truma, but you only separate a truma when there's something left over after the separation. Af rachis hagez. So to Rabbi Osei by Reishis Hagez, there has to be something that is recognizable left over. Rabbi Osei, this is actually an incredible idea. What this is saying is like this. Halacha l'maisa, if you decide, you know what, you love Kohanim. Mamish you're meshuga for Kohanim. So you say to yourself, you know what, Kohen, I love you. I want to, everything is truma. Rabbi Osei, it actually doesn't work. It doesn't work. You can give him tzedakah, you can give him matana, but you cannot make all of your produce truma. Now the reason for that, Rabbi Osei, is because truma is called rachis. It's only called rachis if what? It's only called the first if what? If what? If there's second or third of stuff left over. It's actually interesting. So too, again, rachis hagez is the same thing. I love, I'm a sugar for, everybody's gotta be a sugar for something. My thing is kohanim. So I say, so rachis hagez, I want to give him all of my shearings. It doesn't work. Again, you could give anything you want to anyone you want. You just can't call it rachis hagez. So what I say, you can't do it. Why? Because Rashi tells me that there's something left over. In Vatanan, Omer kol grani truma. If a person says, my entire straw is truma, b'chol isasi chalo, my entire dough is chalo, lo amar klum. It's very interesting, right? Ultimately, again, lo amar klum. I will say, it's actually, if you understand, by the way, so much of the din of trumos and maestros is all about measurement, being a measured person in life. There are shiurim for everything in life. Shiurim. And you have to learn how to live within those shiurim. People who don't have boundaries, people who don't have shiurim, become reckless in many different ways. Bein l'tov, bein l'ra. A person can become recklessly good as well. So the Gemara says, you try to go ahead, give away everything to truma, everything to chalom or klum. Ha, kol gazai reishis, devar of kayamin. So we'll say what that, now, what's not included in there is reishis hagez. So it sounds like if you decided to go ahead and give all of your wool for Rishis Hagez, that it works. So the Gemara says, "V'tayin yidach another brayso." Lo Amar Klum tells you that if I went in and I said all of my wool is Rishis Hagez, that doesn't work. Ella lav shma mino harabi loy harabanon. And I will say, what do you see from here? Two different opinions. Can you go ahead and give away everything as Rishis Hagez or not? Ultimately, a machlokis. It seems to be Rabbi Eloi, who equates Reishis Hagez with Truma, will say, just like you can't give away all of your produce for Truma, you can't give all of your shearings as Reishis Hagez. The Rabbanon, who do not subscribe to the Nesina from Truma, ultimately will not go ahead and will not agree that, and they will say that you can give all of your shearings to Reishis Hagez, even though you can't make all of your produce Truma. Amram Nachar Bar Yitzchak Ha'idna, this is incredible Gemara. Ha'idna Nog Amal Kahani Tlas Sabi. Now, these days, we pass in like the following elders. Rabbi Eloi Bereishis Hagez. We pass in Rabbi Eloi Bereishis Hagez. We'll say, Desanya, Rabbi Eloi Omer, Reishis Hagez, Eino Noeg Elabar. So we'll say, I just quoted to you from the Shulchan Aruch, Shin Lamed Gimel Yardea, Hilchos Matnos Aniyim. We pass in like this, Halacha Lamaisa, that the Halacha of the first shearings does not apply in Chutz La'aretz. It only applies in Eretz Yisrael. That's number one. Number two, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseh by Divrei Torah. What's the passage of Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseh by Divrei Torah? What did Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseh say? The Sanya, amazing. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseh Omer Ein Divrei Torah Mekablin Tuma. Torah cannot be Mekabel Tuma. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. So Rashi says over Ein Divrei Torah Mekablin Tuma. But Maseches Brachas Diktani Gabi Bal Keri. The Tzarchi Abosai Takanas Ezra. Takanas Ezra said, that's what? That if a man experiences a seminal emission, a bal keri, he is not permitted to learn Torah until he goes to the mikvah. Both say, now that is a very, very, very serious enactment. Because what that says is that, what it says is halacha l'maisa, man becomes a bal keri, he cannot learn until he goes to the mikvah. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseir says, we do not paskin like that, Takanas Ezra. We do not paskin that way. Ain the return makablin tumah. Therefore, halacha lemaisa. Ultimately, again, even if a man had a seminal emission, he is permitted to return. I'll say, just as an aside on this, this happens to be, this statement is fascinating because the mechanics of this are somewhat intriguing. In other words, Ezra made a takana. What does it mean that the takana doesn't apply? So I'll say, okay, so not our topic now, but what I will tell you is that the Mishnah Berurah brings down that even if halacha lemaisa, man does not go to the mikvah, after having a seminal emission, there is a din of Tisha Kabin. There is a din ultimately, again, the halacha of Tisha Kabin, again, beyond our scope right now, is in certain situations where there's tumah, where a mikvah might not be available or not accessible, there's a concept of nine kav, pouring nine kav of water over yourself, which acts as a quasi mikvah for today. Which again, a quasi mikvah for certain purposes. Which I will say ultimately can be satisfied with a shower. Right? So I will say, so just an important halacha to know that if a man does have a seminal emission, even though again we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseirah, that Tiberi Torah not mekabel tumah, so you could learn Torah even after, but nevertheless, Mishnah Berurah brings down that when possible, one should go ahead and make sure to have Tisha Kav in a shower before learning Torah. Ukrabi Yoshua b'kelayim. Like Rabbi Yoshua, ultimately in the case of Kelayim. What happened in Kelayim? The sign of Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Li'olam ein chayiv ad shi'izra chita, u'so'ora b'chartzen b'mapoles yad. But I will say the halacha is actually interesting by Kelayim, a very strict definition. When I say strict, meaning a very narrow definition of Kelayim, that what's Kelayim? Yom chayiv, if you go ahead and you sow together chita, wheat, barley, the chartzen and grape seed together. So both sides, as opposed to other definitions of kelayim, which understand kelayim to be grape seed and wheat, so Rabbi Yoshia says it's grape, barley, and wheat. And only if you do that are you subject to kelayim. So what the Gemara says, we paskin like these three opinions, right? We'll stop over here for today. I'll share with you an idea on the parasha.